We're opening up this morning to Romans as we continue our study. We are in this great chapter. I've mentioned before, Romans chapter 8. Many people would count it their favorite chapter in the entire Bible. I thought I'd begin with the picture. I don't know if any of you will recognize that. That picture was taken in the downtown Greenville area in 2006. It's a picture of a house that was divided in two so it could be moved 3 miles away from where it originally was built and then put back together. Anybody recognize it? It was then put down, reassembled, put together like Legos, I don't know, right next to Fluor Field where the Greenville Drive plays. And now many of you know it is the home where who lived? Shoeless Joe Jackson. And not only lived, but actually died in that home. Shoeless Joe was born in Pickens, actually, in 1888. His family moved to Greenville's Brandon Mill when his dad took a job there at one of the big mills. They lived in that mill village. He never went to school. As I understand it, was illiterate, never learned to read, write, that type of thing. But he sure knew how to play baseball. And he not only played for the mill team there, but soon he was in the major leagues. And he played in Philadelphia, Cleveland, and finally Chicago. Many of you know there was a big scandal. Was he involved in throwing the World Series and cheating? A grand jury in Chicago said he was not, but nevertheless he was banned for life from professional baseball. That was in 1921. He and his wife eventually came back to Greenville, and they built that house, the house that you see moving down the street there. And it's now a museum. Now, why is that a museum? Is it a museum because that house is special? No. It's a museum because someone special lived in that house. I want to use that as an illustration as we open this morning, because here we are, we've come together as believers in Jesus Christ. And is there something special about us? Well, yes and no. I mean, we're people. We're just like all the other people in this world. But there absolutely is someone special who lives within us. And if your faith is in Jesus Christ, the person who dwells within you is the blessed Holy Spirit. Last week we had a message from Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I'll read it now. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And just as a quick review, I have the points up on the screen. You are in the Spirit, and secondly, the Spirit dwells in you, and that's true because you belong to Jesus Christ. And that's true of every person who belongs to Jesus Christ. That was verse 9. I want to focus on two more verses, verses 10 and 11 this morning. I want to focus on the person of the Holy Spirit. And thus the title of the message is The Spirit of Life. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And again, my focus in light of that introduction, just like Shoeless Joe's house was just another house, in a sense, we're just people, just like any other person. Even those who don't know Christ, in many ways, we're the same. But in other ways, we're radically different. And that's true of you if the Holy Spirit lives in you. We're going to look at 5 quick points, actually 3 points from the message, but we'll take the summary, number 4, and the application, number 5, right from these 2 verses as well. Let's begin with this message I call the Spirit of Life, number 1. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, lives in you. Notice verse 10. Paul says, if Christ is in you. If Christ is in you. Now, what he's saying is true if you've put faith in Jesus Christ, right? If it's true, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If your faith is not in Christ, you are under condemnation. And please make sure you understand that. I did not say if your faith's in Christ, one day you're going to see condemnation. If your faith is not in Christ, you are right now today under the wrath of God, and condemnation is on you this very moment. And it will get much worse. But that's not true if you're in Christ. If you are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for you. If you understood what Martin Luther came to understand, again, today we honor the 501st anniversary of the Reformation, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And you realize there's nothing you could do to be forgiven of your sin, but Christ did everything. You just need to turn from your sin to Christ. Then this is true of you. What we read here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 10, if Christ is in you. Now, you might be thinking, wait a second, Greg, verse 10 says, if Christ is in me, you started talking about the Holy Spirit. Is it the Holy Spirit or is it Christ? And it's both in this sense. Notice the last phrase in verse 9, just a verse ahead of us. It says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Notice the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. So Christ is in you because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And to have the Holy Spirit in you is to have Christ in you in that sense. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And Paul's not trying to get you to doubt. If you're a believer, Paul doesn't want you to come to verse 10 and say, if Christ is in you, and you better make sure he is. That's not what's going on in this text. It's the idea of a fulfilled condition. He's writing to believers, even as I preach this morning to believers. We could maybe paraphrase, since Christ is in you, since the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is dwelling in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 puts it this way, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And just to stay with an illustration, even a shoeless Joe lived in that house you saw taken apart and moved. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And the Holy Spirit, not a person outside of you, but a person dwelling continually inside of you. And thus we could say, Jesus Christ is within you. That's the first thing we see in this text. Are you like other people? Well, in this way, no. Not if we're talking about the many who don't know Jesus. Because the average person today walking around does not have Christ in him because the Spirit of Christ is not in him. That is, the Holy Spirit's not in him. But if your faith's in Jesus Christ, God himself, Yahweh the Holy Spirit, dwells in you continually inside of you. Now at the same time, there's also a second reality. Notice verse 10. If Christ is in you, okay, number one, the Spirit is in you. Just go a little farther in verse 10. Though the body is dead because of sin. The second truth we see this morning is your body is mortal. Now, as you look at verse 10, though the body is dead because of sin, what does that mean? Notice carefully the wording. Paul does not say, though your body is dead to sin because you died with Christ. That's Romans 6 language, but we're not in Romans 6. We're in Romans 8. If you notice it carefully, Paul says, though the body is dead because of sin. Paul's talking about your body and the effects of sin. Because you're a sinner, just like I'm a sinner, every single person is a sinner. And what's the result? The result is the body is subject to physical death. The body is destined for death. The body is mortal. That's our second point. That's why I've worded it this way. Your body is mortal. And so we know that when the Bible says in this text, though the body is dead because of sin, that's not Paul suddenly talking about unbelievers. Paul's writing to believers. Even though the Holy Spirit lives in us, we still have a body. We still are sinners, and our body is destined for death. And that's something that's true for all of us. Paul wrote in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Now, we rejoice as believers, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yet the reality is, because we're all sinners, we do anticipate death. Many of you know that Martin Lloyd Jones was both a physician, a medical doctor, as well as a pastor. And he maybe has a unique view on things. I put a quote up from Lloyd Jones. The moment we enter into this world and begin to live, we also begin to die. Your first breath is one of the last you will ever take. The principle of decay leading to death is in every one of us, right? Every one of us is dying. And you know, sometimes we talk to people that are going through challenging times and we'll say, you know, I just heard that so-and-so found out that he has a bad illness or a disease, and now whoever she knows that she's dying. Well, you know, that's just one way we use language. In reality, we're all dying. We're all mortal because we're all sinners. We all are destined to die. Now, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we will still die because of sin. That's what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, though the body is dead, your body is mortal, and you will die, even if your faith is in Christ. Now, I'm going to once again use the Shoeless Joe house illustration. After Shoeless Joe passed away, his house was just a house. It was vacant for a while. A couple different people owned it. It became rental property. And it would have just passed away, and no one would have thought about it. Except there's a man, I'm not familiar with him, but his name is Richard Davis, and he is one of the key executives related to a show. I'm not familiar with this show, Flip This House. And in 2006, Richard Davis became aware of the Shoeless Joe Jackson house, and he bought it. Not because the house was special, but because someone very special lived in it. And that's how things started happening. Many different agencies gave money, and now you can see a picture of what I'm going to call the resurrected house. And now their museum, I've never gone in it. This has gotten me interested. I hope to go now that I'm using this as an illustration and thinking about it. I've walked by it many times as I've gone and enjoyed a ball game with many of you. That house has, in a sense, been resurrected. Why? Not because it's a special house, because someone special lived in it. Application. In a sense, none of us are special. We're all sinners, and because we have sinned, our body is mortal, and we will face death. You say, well then, what good is it to have the Holy Spirit in you? Oh, it's incredible, because that takes us to our third point. The Spirit we have in us is the Spirit of life. Notice that phrase, and I have to point out a few things here in the text. Verse 11, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, I'm reading from a New American Standard, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The Spirit is alive because of righteousness. I'm reading from a New American Standard, aware that many of you have different translations, okay? I want to talk about this for just a moment, and hopefully not be overly technical. Notice I've underlined it here. The Spirit is alive. I want to focus on that word alive, and I know it might be different than many other translations. It's a Greek word that occurs in the New Testament 135 times. This is the only place the New American Standard translates it alive, which is highly unusual. And you ask why, when the word almost in every single occurrence doesn't mean alive, it means life. Why would the New American Standard translate it as alive? Because they're assuming that spirit should be lowercase s, because they assume that it's the opposite of my body. So there's a contrast between the human body and the human spirit, and thus how can the human spirit be life? That doesn't make any sense. So they translate it, the human spirit, assumption, lowercase s, is alive. It's logical. I don't think it's correct. I think they made the wrong call this time. Remember, we believe in the inspiration of the Bible. We also recognize the Bible's been translated. And there will be times where translators sit down and they study, they make decisions. And I think this time they made the wrong one. I greatly prefer the ESV and other translations. I put this on the screen. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit, capital S, is life. Life is the normal rendering of that word when it's used in that other 120, 30 some times. And it makes perfectly good sense if we translate spirit as a reference not to the human spirit, but the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, Greg, why would you assume the Spirit's the Holy Spirit? Okay, quick review. When we're translating from Greek, we don't have capital versus lowercase letters. It's a translator's call. But if your Bible's open in front of you, here we are looking at verse 10. Just go up to verse 9 and look for the word Spirit. You'll find it twice. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, that's the Holy Spirit. Actually, three times. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit. He does not belong to him. Three out of three times the Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit. Drop down to verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit, from the dead dwells in you, then you'll notice the end of the verse, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, the Holy Spirit, 3 out of 3. Verse 11, the Holy Spirit, 2 out of 2. Sandwiched right in between is verse 10, a reference to the Spirit. Just in context, it would make sense. We're probably talking about the Holy Spirit. And thus, I think what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that you have living within you the blessed Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit who gives eternal life to our dead bodies. The same Holy Spirit whom God the Father used to raise his glorious Son from the dead is the same Spirit of life that's living inside you right now. And by that Holy Spirit, it is not death to die if your faith is in Jesus Christ. And when you come to that place where you take your final breath, beloved, you don't need to have any fear. You don't need to be afraid of that day. So many people anxious about death. And yet believers in Jesus Christ, then there is no need for that. Because the Spirit of life dwells within you. And that's true of you. If your faith is in Christ, I'm back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, first verse in this chapter. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you can look forward with great anticipation to being with Christ. You can look forward to a new body. And I know sometimes you think, Greg, what's going on in heaven? It doesn't sound that wonderful. Just a bunch of spirits, you know, floating, whatever, like clouds, is not a biblical viewpoint. I just thought of one text, I have a summary here. I'll get to 2 Corinthians 5 in just a little bit. I'm going to mention it anyway. 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about what we, when our tent is taken down, when our body is set aside, we get a resurrection body, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 begins. That's the faith that you have. And thus I have the summary statement up now. And the summary is actually, if you'll notice, the next verse right here, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Let's just break that down a little bit. You can see it right on the screen. But if the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of him, that's God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit who gives life, the agency of our resurrection, if we could put it that way. If he dwells within you, then what is true of you? Well, here's the application. That he who raised, this is just the second half of verse 11. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that's a singular pronoun. Who is that referring to? In this context, God the Father, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will also give life to your mortal bodies. How? Through his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. And that's the anticipation, that's the hope, that's the confidence of every believer. And there I have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. Okay, just think about going backpacking, all right? Back in the day, many, many years ago, when I was working with our teens, we would take them backpacking. I almost said Nancy and I would take the kids backpacking, but Nancy would never go because she doesn't do that. So I would go backpacking with other guys. We'd take the young people and enjoyed it very much. And we would have tents, right? You have it on the back in your backpack. We'd set up the tent. And then what do? Night's over, you take your tent down and you go back home. That's this body. I'm in this body for a short period of time. And I'm thankful for the body. We honor the body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And yet it's just the body. And one day this body is going to be taken down just like a tent's taken down. That's what Paul's saying in this text. We know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God. Notice, this body is a tent, but what we're going to get is a resurrection body. It's called here a building. You say, why is it called a building? Why not tent two? Because it's not tent two. It's a house not made with hands. And notice what comes next. It's eternal in the heavens. That house will never be taken down. Beloved, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're going to have a resurrection body that is as real as this body, but it is not mortal like this body. It is eternal in the heavens, for indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. And we look forward to that. We look forward to the resurrected body, even as we suffer in the bodies that we live in now. You know, so much suffering, right? So much pain. So many problems in this life. So many different illustrations I could give you, right? You know, I try as typically once a week, I go and I go over to a long-term care facility. And whenever I go, I see the same thing. I see a faithful, godly woman sitting next to her husband who's not able to really speak much anymore at all. Alzheimer's has affected him so much. And when I look at him, his eyes twinkle, and he's able to still say short words and small words, not sentences, and I speak to him. And he gives me phrases most of the time. And I think about the challenges. I understand it. There are things he's thinking. He wants to say. He can't. He just can't. He doesn't have the ability. His physical body, the brain, is an organ. And it's wasting away. And then I see his wife there every single day, faithfully sitting with him. And the challenge that she's facing, she's not young anymore. And yet she is there, and here they are together, suffering. I think about others in our congregation that are facing very challenging times, difficult diagnoses. And I'm reminded of the fact that most probably, not only is your time coming, my time is coming. And unless the Lord would come back or something would happen quickly and suddenly, we too are going to get some type of what we would call bad news, diagnosis. And you say, Greg, it's horrible. In many ways, it is horrible. But beloved, if your faith is in Christ, that is nothing you need to fear. Because the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the blessed third person in the Trinity, indwells you. And we talked about that word dwell. It doesn't mean is outside of you cheering you on. It means he is within. And it doesn't mean he stops by time and time again. It means he lives and he never leaves. And he will see that you experience a bodily resurrection, just like Jesus Christ. And throughout the Bible, we find many, many instances where the resurrection of Christ is paired with the resurrection that we look forward to. And as certain as we are that Christ was raised from the dead, we too have that resurrection hope. Let me just go through a couple of those as we make our application. That he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, just like he raised Christ, will raise you. Example of how these two are paired together, 1 Corinthians 6:14. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but also will raise us up through his power. And just as Christ was raised, you too will experience a literal, physical, bodily resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:20. Now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Quick reminder, first fruits in the ancient world, they would take the first portion of whatever, the figs or the olives, I'll say, and they would present those to the Lord as a way of saying, Lord, thank you for the whole harvest. These are just the first fruits. Christ is raised from the dead. As glorious as that is, it's just the first fruits, the first portion. Because many, many, many more will be raised to eternal life. And that includes you if you're indwelt by the blessed Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ. One more, 2 Corinthians 4:14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Back to our application from the end of Romans 8:11. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Is your faith in Christ? Is your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you in Christ? And are you confident that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ? Because if you're not, you better be afraid of dying. I don't say that with any sense of glee. It's just reality. Our world is filled with people who are afraid to die, and they should be afraid to die. Because there's appointed unto man, right? Once to die, and then comes judgment, and they all will face judgment. But it doesn't have to be that way if your faith's in Christ, because if your faith's in Christ, you're in Christ, and there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Which means, inside you, at this very moment, lives the Holy Spirit. And you're different. Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is the Spirit of life. And through his power, you are going to experience a physical, bodily resurrection just like Jesus. It's going to be awesome. I think about our previous pastor talking about what it's going to be like to have a resurrection body. And he would say all kinds of things that I didn't understand, but I loved it anyway. Because he was smarter than me. He would talk about there being cells in our body. And allegedly, in those cells, between electrons and neutrons and protons, there's space. I don't even know what that means. Because I don't see any space. But he says there's space. And he says, in theory, if you line it all up just right, you could actually walk through a wall. And he would talk about things like that. And he said it like he understood it. And there were certain very smart people in our congregation, like Ward, who would sit there and go, yeah. And I would just sit there, I don't even know what that means. But I know one thing, it is not death to die. And even if I don't understand that, I am confident that because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life lives in me, that I have no reason to fear death. And when that time comes, it will not be death to die. And there will be a literal bodily resurrection. And that's true for you if your faith is in Christ. Is your faith in Christ? Have you turned from your sin and said, Lord, I don't want to be condemned for my sin. I'm going to turn from my sin and put my faith in Jesus. Realizing by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, I can be forgiven. And what would that be like? I began with an illustration of a house. The house of Shoeless Joe Jackson. I'm going to end with an illustration of a different house. Many of you knew the Joe Jackson house. Do any of you know that house? That's Billy Graham's house. It's now up in the Charlotte area, part of the Billy Graham Museum. That's the home, part of the Billy Graham Museum. And I think all of you would know, but just in case you don't, a very well-known gospel-preaching evangelist. That's the home that he lived in from approximately ninth grade until he went away to college. Excuse me, age of 9 years old until he left for college. Now, what's interesting is that home initially was 4 miles away from that place it's located now. That home was taken apart brick by brick. Every single brick was taken down. Every board was removed. It was put in pieces, not like a Shoeless Joe house just split in two. It was taken down, every brick separated from the next brick, and then moved, and then reassembled one board at a time, one brick at a time, and there's the reassembled house. And I haven't been there, but I've been told it's a nice place to go, and I hope one day to head up that way and check it out. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that house special? And my answer is what? No. I mean, I've seen brick houses. I've seen old houses. Who cares? It's just a house. You say, but wait a second, Greg. It's at a museum. Why? Not because the house is special, but because someone historically special and significant lived in that house. In one sense, it's just a house. In another sense, someone very special lived in that house. Here we all have mortal bodies. And is there anything special about our bodies? Well, no. Yes. Someone very special lives inside of us. And His name is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life. And praise God, when you take your final breath, you're going to find out it is not death to die. But there's coming a day where even as Jesus Christ was raised victorious over death in the grave, you too will experience that same literal type of bodily resurrection. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the Spirit of Christ. Praise God for the Spirit of life. To my brothers and sisters in Christ, don't be afraid to die. Because it is not death to die. As long as the Spirit of life indwells you. And if He's in, because your faith's in Christ, then He will never leave you. And I trust by God's grace that that will bring you great hope and confidence and assurance by God's grace. Let's pray.